Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Are you ready? We're going to jump onto the next verb, which is discover. I don't know if you can tell, but we're on purpose trying to be really cool. We lit up follow and we lit up discover just this week. Did you notice that? Did anybody notice that at all? Okay, so we'll light up connect next week. We're doing our best. We should have taken the glossy effect out, though. A matte black would have probably worked better, don't you think? Anyways, just for our stage building folks next time around, there you go. Oh, I feel the love of Jesus all over me, don't you? Isn't he good? Hey, we're going to jump into Discover, so we want to do that. So we're transforming lives to impact their world. And that's what's going on. Like, Joey's life's being touched, transformed, and all around him, people are seeing, dude, what's going on? Take me to your leader. So that's really what's going on. So it's good. So we talk about impact verbs we value. So we pick six verbs to kind of identify things that are values for us as Impact Church, so that you can know, what do we value at Impact Church? What's it all about? Well, one of those values is follow. And last week we talked about follow. And the whole aspect of follow is when you read the Gospels, the history books about Jesus, you can come to one conclusion. Jesus is highly relational. So Joey got hooked up with Jesus. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right. Joey said, I got new rights. He got the right to become a child of God. Isn't that awesome? You accept that he accepts you. Accept that he's for you. Accept that he's removed every obstacle to your heavenly Father. Accept Jesus and you become a child of God. Good deal. Good trade. Good trade. So we're talking about following Jesus. So the Matthew 4:19, it said, then he said, follow me and I will make you. Isn't that good? Follow me and I will make you. I mean, Joey just said, I want to follow you. And he said, follow me. I'll deal with the stuff. Follow me. Trust me. If we're going to put our finger on a couple of things, and you don't go to hell if you're smoking. You're not a bad person if you're smoking, although this culture seems to, you know, want to be a nanny state and tell us all what to do. God's not like that. But Joey wanted to quit. Joey wanted to get rid of smoking. And he said, God, help me with this. And God helped him with it. Pretty cool. Amen. So good thing. So follow me. Mark 3:14 says, then he appointed the 12 that they might be with him. See, the very first thing he did when he called his disciples, first thing he wanted is, I want you to be with me. I want you to follow me. I want you to spend time with me. I want you to catch my character, my nature, who I am. And he wanted them to understand that. So the first thing is, spend some time with me. Hang out with me. He doesn't say, I have saved you. Now go be a better person, you dog. That's not the gospel. The gospel's, come on. You get to hang out with me full on, follow me, be with me. And you know, you're going to experience transformation because of that. So the Pharisee message, change and you can join us. Jesus' message, join me and you can change. Come on, follow me and you know, I'll make you. Follow me and literally we'll unpack all of the nonsense, all your past, even every painful experience. We'll unpack all of that and we'll release you to be your true self. That's a really great thing. So we're looking for followers. Because, you know, when you follow Jesus, I'll give you another verse here. You ready for this one? Look what this verse says. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, intimately know them, and they follow me. They follow me. So as a pastor, when I first started pastoring 27 years ago, I thought that I had to shepherd the flock, right? And so I had to tell them what to do, and I had to beat them over the head and say, you could do better. Come back next week, and we'll give you some more lessons. Now smarten up this week and be better. And I'm like, man, getting all these do-gooder lessons every week. Now I've simplified the whole thing. Just follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. So many people go, Pastor, should I be doing this anymore? I don't know. What's Jesus say? Well, he was kind of saying maybe he'd help me change that. I go, do you want to change that? I go, I would. Well, then I think you're right. It's so much easier to pastor people following Jesus. It's so much easier to not connect them to me or to a doctrine or to a religion or to an institution or to an organization or to a denomination. I'm only here to put your hand in Jesus. That's all I do. It's really easy. I'm really an usher. That's all I do. I stand and say, hello, you want to meet Jesus? What should I do now? Stay with your face in Jesus. What should I do now? Listen to Jesus. It's really easy being a pastor. You just usher people into his presence and lock the door and say, stay there. Stay there, because that is really the beginning and the end of it all. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. Can I get a hallelujah? All right, so we're jumping into discover. Say discover. Discover. So we want to discover. Now, I want to give you another picture here. Look at this picture right here. Anybody remember him? You know, who's that guy? How many had no idea who that was? Y'all, some people didn't know. Isn't that great? Thank you. Appreciate that. I love that when you got like a four-year-old just tracking with the pastor. So awesome. I mean, I know I'm doing my job when I get a four-year-old who's like right with me. That's George Jetson. And the Jetsons were kind of Hanna-Barbera, the Flintstones. But then they had the ancient, the Flintstone family. But then he had George Jetson, the space setter, out in the future guy. But George Jetson, literally, in the future, everything is going to become so automated and so awesome, such incredible efficiency and just prosperity and blessing everywhere, that George Jetson literally had a push-button job. He only worked 1 hour 2 days a week. He had 5 days off, and he only worked 1 hour 2 days a week. That meant like 2 hours a week. That's all he had to work because automation is taking over. And I mean, we're just going to be so productive, so many wonderful things done. Everything's going to be such a blessing and prosperity everywhere. We'll barely be able to handle it. We'll only have to work 2 hours a week to do it all. Say amen. Amen. Say, oh, me. All right. Well, let me tell you this. All right. There was a Senate committee hearing in the 1960s, 1965, actually. And here's what they said. They said, what will we do with our time in the future when we have experienced all these advances in technology? What are we going to do when we only have to work 20 hours a week? And they were saying that would happen in the year 2000. Wow. They were thinking it's really trouble, real problems. And I heard today, actually, it was Bill Gates was talking about robotics and robots and how, and now they're actually talking about, because they're going to be doing all the work, they say we may have to tax people who own robots. They're already thinking about it. People who own robotics and things like this to do all their work, we may have to heavily tax the robots because where are we going to get the income to pay for all the social things? Pretty amazing. But how do you know things are getting pretty cool? I mean, I don't need a robot because I got Cheryl, so it's really awesome. But did I lose a few people right there? Yeah. Oh, wow. Julie, like, I thought something happened because I saw Julie elbow Kevin severely. It was like, bam. She said, you'll never say that. Now, I was only kidding, honey. You're awesome. I know that. But I mean, I don't mean that with great affection. I don't even want to go there anymore. I just want to move on. Okay, give me another slide so we can move on. Because newspaper in North Carolina, November 26th, which is my birthday, if you want to put that in your calendar. November 26th, 1967, that wasn't my birthday. I was born in 1995. So I have feelings, you know, relax. Guffaw, guffaw. Okay, 1967. Those who hunger for time off from work may take heart from the forecast of political science Sebastian de Grazia, who said that the average work week by the year 2000 will be 31 hours and perhaps even 21 hours. That was in the newspaper. I actually got the clipping is just below that. Give me one more slide, because this is what Dr. de Grazia said. He said, there is reason to fear, as some do, that free time, forced free time, will bring on restless tick of boredom, idleness, immorality, and increased personal violence. So these people were seriously concerned back then that we're going to have too much time on our hands and we're all going to go crazy. You know, here's the reality. How many times, honestly now, do you walk up to somebody and go, hey, how you doing? Oh, busy, man. Just really busy. Isn't it weird? I mean, I literally caught myself about 6 months ago, and the first thing I'd say, hey, how are things going, Pastor? Hey, busy, just really busy. But then I went, well, it's a good busy, though, you know? But then I went, man, why do I respond immediately with busy? What is the deal with that? I mean, our society hasn't got less busy. We got more busy, and like, my phone's vibrating. I think that's my daughter telling me bad things about what I said about her mother. Anyways. But even that, you gotta have that. Like, I know when my daughter dies, we'll have to have that surgically removed from her hand. It's just like crazy stuff. I was with a pastor yesterday having breakfast with him, and he had his phone sitting out like this. And while I'm talking to him, he's like, I'm like, hello? Like, I'm a human being right across from you. It's rude when you're like checking your phone while you're having a conversation, isn't it? Everybody look at that awkward person who does that all the time and say, more time. We're going to have more time. All right, more time. Senate hearings. Da, 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 da. So how you doing? How you doing? It says good, good, busy. Oh, just crazy busy. Now, there's a word karoshi. Say karoshi. That's a Japanese word, and it means death by overwork. It does. And it's literally, it is a word. It's a technical word. It's a word that's in their culture and in their workman's compensation. You can put in a workman compensation file on behalf of a loved one who was death by karoshi. There have been 2,310. As of, this was in 2016, as of March 2016, the first 3 months of the year, there had been 2,310 filings of karoshi in Japan. Japanese culture is nuts. I mean, literally, people are working themselves just crazy. It's just nuts. People are just working, not sleeping, not doing anything. And it's a big epidemic because people are just, you know, not, they don't have any time. And like I said, with the offering teaching, you don't have any margins in your life. In any area of your life, you don't have any margins. And if you're not careful, you can have death by karoshi. Claims of karoshi related. 2,310 in that year. So let me give you a picture. Look at this picture. It's called margin. You got to have some margin in your life. Say margin. Margin. Those who can't see very well, it doesn't say margarine. It says margin. All right. Margin. All right. Margin is making room for what really matters. Making room for what really matters. Say, this is good, Pastor. I don't know. Sounds like a bit of a self-help course right now, but it's all right. We're going to get there. Relax. All right. Margin. All right. Margin. Look at this now. Margin makes you pleasant. Margin makes you listen. Margin promotes generosity. Margin makes room for others. Margin feeds your dreams. Margin increases productivity. And margin enables real rest. Yeah. You know, God wants you to have margin in your life. God doesn't want you to live to the edges in every bit of your life. He doesn't want you to be driven. He wants you to make room. You can't even hear from God if you're driven every moment of the day. You can't give. You can't honor God if your finances are at the extreme. You'll never have time to even dream or experience some spontaneous suddenly from God because you're even sitting here right now. You can't even hear the preaching because you're already going, how are we going to get through the week? People come and you're so freaked out. You can't even hear the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. People are living way too extreme. So margin enables you to experience rest. Say rest. Now, go back to that slide one more time. If margin makes you pleasant, what are you if you're not pleasant? If there's no margin in your life, you're unpleasant. That's good. Un is good. Displeasant, or just use my favorite word, grumpy. All right? Who's grumpy? Come on. All eyes closed, heads bowed. Who's grumpy? You got no margin in your life. Who's sneezy, sleepy, and dopey? Okay. Happy. Come on, there is a happy there. So that's good for you, Julie. You're always the optimist in the room, you know. But you know, no margin, you're not paying attention. No margin, you're cheap and you're stingy. No margin, you're selfish. No margin, you got no dreams. No margin, you get nothing done. No margin, you're irritable all the time. And that's not how God called you to live. And if you're a believer, if that's what's going on in your life, you're not keeping your eyes on Jesus. He's kind of standing back watching you spin going, woo, holy moly, look at that. But that's not him. Your busyness actually isn't even pleasing to him. Even if you're busy pleasing God. Every time the church is open, I'm there. When they go to prayer meeting, I stay 10 extra minutes later. Woo, praying a little harder. When there's Bible study, I stay and read a little longer. Woo, it's crazy stuff. All right, none of those people go here, so it's okay. I believe I'm believing stuff. I believe people are driven in our culture because they've never found rest in the answer to these two questions. Where did I come from and why am I here? Where did I come from and why am I here? So following Jesus is really, really important because following Jesus will lead to some amazing discoveries. Where did I come from and why am I here? See, Joey, following Jesus, came to a conclusion that I'm a child of God, and he's my father, and it healed all his garbage from his past and all his pain, and he realized I'm qualified to experience God's love, and now he's beginning to realize that I'm here, that he can live in and through me. I'm not here to struggle every day with problems, but I'm here to live victoriously over this mess and manifest the goodness of God. And he wants to take me and hold me out in his hand like a royal diadem, like a jewel, and say, this is what happens when you're my kid. And everybody's going to scream, can I join? Absolutely. So we want people to follow, because when you follow, you're going to discover where you came from, and you're going to discover why you're here. You're here to do better. Do better this week. I mean it. No, you're here to manifest a loving relationship with Jesus. You want to discover those things. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Very common. You should know all this off by heart. You ready? Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Look what it says. Come to me. Come. Say come. It's not complicated stuff. Come. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That's so good right there. Come to me, right? You know, we're going to have a baptismal service. Come and get baptized. Oh, I got to get my life cleaned up first, Pastor. No, actually doesn't say that. Just come on and get baptized. Oh, but I, you know, I'm a really crappy person. Yeah, I know. Well, baptism's for crappy people. I got a whole lot of people. You know, I had a guy saying that to me once. I said it last week. I had a guy going, well, I got to get some stuff fixed up first. I went, that's like taking a shower to take a bath. That's just crazy stuff, you know? I mean, like, what are you going to do to make yourself ready for God? What are you going to do to make yourself acceptable to God? There was a parable about that Jesus taught. The guy who came in his own clothing, he got kicked out. You got to put on the clothes Jesus provides. It's his righteousness and his righteousness alone. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. The Cheryl anointing on me right there. Amen, amen. Come to me, all you who labor. Come to me, all you who are just trying so hard. I'm going to do better next week. God, I mean it. Pastor's going to be so proud of me next week. Oh, my God. They're trying really, really hard, but I will give you, say give, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am lowly of heart. Think about that. Here's your teacher. Here's the one who asked you to come, and he wants to explain to you, come to me. Learn with me. I'm gentle and I'm lowly of heart. That's really great, isn't it? I'm awesome. I'm so eloquent, and you'll be brilliantly touched when you're near me. Now come. I'm gentle. And I'm lowly of heart. I love that about God. He's so humble. Drives me crazy. He's so humble. He's so good. Come take my yoke on you. Learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. You will find rest. Listen to this, though. You will find rest for your souls. Not just rest, not a nap. I mean, the kind of rest that penetrates deep down inside of you, body, soul, and spirit. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions become completely saturated in his goodness and established in a deep sense of rest. Amen. Thank you, Joshua. Amen. By the way, this is also a commercial for Joshua Clothiers. This shirt is from Joshua Clothiers. And you got to start paying me for something, I'm telling you. At least commissions, maybe commissions. My yoke, and all you on TV, commissions. I mean, Joshua, anyway, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me read this to you from the Message, because I love the way the Message lays it out, all right? The Message, Eugene Peterson, did a wonderful service to the church and did a paraphrase for us, and here it is. It's coming up right now. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Anything where it's you trying to do a self-help program in your own little club without reaching out to God, that's religion. It can be found in so many different places, but it's you trying to make yourself acceptable to God. It's just a nasty manifestation. That's what he means here. Well, you mean all religion is wrong? No, but if you're burned out on religion, you know, it's a messy place to be. But he says, come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. You'll recover your life. How many want to recover your life? I feel like I've been ripped off. Stuff's been taken from me. Come on. Just come to me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. That is so good, isn't it? The unforced rhythms of grace. That's just such a beautiful phrase. The unforced rhythms of grace. It's unforced. When you get in a relationship with Jesus and this goodness and this grace, there's no force in it. It's free. There's a free flow that you can literally start to engage with. Da-da-da-dum. It's just like so good. You can get hooked up with the rhythms of God's goodness. I won't lay anything heavy. If Jesus won't lay anything heavy, if you got some preacher beating you over the head with heavy, it's not from him. because I won't lay anything heavy. Oh, what about conviction, Pastor? Hallelujah. Again, when God convicts, it's not heavy. It was easy for Joey. Joey's like, dude, I'm in. It wasn't like, Joey, you've come to me and now you must grovel for a week. You must lay in the snow and beat yourself. The unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. If you're yoked with Jesus and the yoke is chafing and you got a sore neck and you're always pulling and always pushing, it's probably because he sat down. How many have plowed with the yoke oxen? How many have actually plowed with the yoke oxen? Never. So we're like, what is that? Now, I had a guy, George Veach, one of our fellows from Elam Bible Institute, a friend of my parents, used to travel, great prophetic guy, but he talked about the yoke, and he says, I not only, you know, plowed with the yoke of oxen, we trained oxen to plow, and he says, the way you train a young ox is put them with the old ox. He says, and you hook them up, and the young ox is like, I'm ready, and he just starts to take off, and the old ox just goes, sits down, just, and the young ox is like, and just like, and then finally young ox sits down. Then the young, old ox goes, now we're ready. And he said, oh, it's just trying to touch. Come on. But he said, it's amazing. After a couple of days of plowing a field, the young ox is like, I get it. I get it. You know, you get yoked up with Jesus, you got to keep your eye on him. If he says stop, stop. If he says get up, get up. If he says plow, plow. It's really not complicated. And you just learn of him. You keep your eyes on him. So keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Folks, being in a relationship with the body of Christ, with people, in a communion of the saints, with the Almighty, should be the highlight of your week. It should be the highlight of your life to be in relationship with the body of Christ. Oh, I got to go to church again. It's a long weekend too. Oh, hope he's not long today. How come our services are like 2 hours? Other churches, they got 1 hour services, little drive-through, whoop, you know? We're gonna set up a drive-through right over there for the people who want a quickie. Bless you, hallelujah, give me your offering, woo, see you next week. Stop it, I saw somebody going, I'm really gonna do that? All right, come on, move on, Pastor, move on. All right, so discover, we're gonna discover four things. You ready? We're gonna discover who you are and why. How do you do that? Number one, you come. Come, get away with me, you'll recover your life. Following Jesus leads to a profound discovery of who you are. You're a child of God, you're created for purpose. It's not a list of expectations, it's just straight up, come, then I'll give you the list. No, it's just come. Come and just keep on coming. Keep on following, resting, and enjoying him, all right? Following Jesus should lead to a profound discovery of who you are. How many know Adam Levine? You know Adam Levine? It's one of my favorite songs, you know. I got the moves like Jagger. I got the moves like Jagger. You know? I don't have the moves like Jagger, but I did when I was younger. But I'm like, why does Adam Levine want to be like Mick Jagger? Like, just be yourself, man. Like, it's good to be you, right? Like, you know, it's such a burden to have to be somebody else. You know, and when I was in Bible school, I used to have preachers in our preaching lab. They'd get up and they'd go, I want to turn us now to the book of... And like normally you're hanging out with them, going having a coffee. Yeah, you doing? Oh, pretty good. How you doing? They got a preacher. Yeah, you turn this stuff now. To you. And I go, wow, that guy, he sounds just like, you know, Palmer Johnson when he preaches. That must be his fan. Or he sounds just like David Edwards. We would turn now to the book of her. And you'd see people, and what a burden to constantly be trying to be somebody else. I mean, how much effort is it to constantly be on, I hope I'm pulling this off. It's so much easier to be yourself. And being me is really, really easy. And it's a gift to be me because there's nobody like me. And I'm a gift from heaven. So you know what? Here it is. It's all good. And here you are. I mean, be who you are. Be what God called you to be. You don't have to be dancing in somebody else's boots. It's like you see people carrying about 40 knapsacks of expectations, and I'm trying to be. Just, here, you ready? Let's do a prophetic act. You ready? Just put your hands like this. Go. Oh, that feels so much better. Doesn't that feel better? Oh, that feels good right there. Number two, take. take. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It says, I won't give you anything heavy or ill-fitting. You'll live freely and you'll live lightly. Don't be a poser. Don't be a copy. Be the original. Can I get an amen? Be the original. We're going to fly right along. We're going to jump right into number three. Learn. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart. I love that. I mean, if the God you serve isn't gentle and lowly of heart, say, excuse me, you're the wrong guy. Move over. I am gentle and lowly of heart. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. A life of intention and efficiency. I want you to live intentionally. I want you to live your life on purpose. Don't wake up every day, oh, what am I going to do now? Joey's going to go to the gym. And that works for Joey. And if that's Joey's word from God, then so be it. If he speaks to me that way, I'll say, is there anyone else up there? But you got to live intentionally. I mean, you live intentionally. John 5:19, he does only, say only. Jesus did only what he saw the Father doing. And I love that, don't you? Because here's Jesus. They're freaking out because the devil sent the storm. We know it was the devil because he rebuked it. And if it was from the Father, he wouldn't have rebuked his own Father. So we know the devil tried to hinder them from going to the next level. But when he's being hindered by the devil, what's Jesus do? Don't you care if we drown? We're not going to drown. I got stuff to do tomorrow. I'm on the airplane. There's turbulence. It's like, and I go, spilled my coffee. Can I get another coffee, please? Aren't you terrified? No, I got to preach in India tomorrow. I mean, my God, I got stuff to do. I know what I'm doing. This plane, I told this plane when I got on, I bind you to get to India. No other thing, no other issue. But you are taking me, and I pray over every single plane I get on. You're not going to fly into a tower or anything stupid. You're taking me to some meetings in India. You're not going to do anything else in the name of Jesus. And I let my peace rest on it, and that's the end of it. And I told the Lord, if my peace comes off it, I'm getting off the plane. So, and I'm going to tell everybody else, hey, not a good plane. You remember when they were going to have a shipwreck and Jesus shows up and tells Paul that they're going to have a shipwreck. And he's like, well, I'll tell everybody else, hey, guys, we better not go. The ship's going to wreck. What? Yeah, I better stay here. They decide to go anyways. And so Paul has to go because he's a prisoner. And then they say, oh, no, a nasty storm. And then Paul says, yeah, he's just talking to Jesus again. The ship's going to wreck. It's all going to get destroyed. But don't worry about it. We're all going to be okay. Well, can't he stop the storm and get the ship in calm and safely? Nope, ship's going to be destroyed because you wouldn't pay attention. But we're all going to be safe. I just said, Lord, give me another word, please. I got to swim through the seas. Yes, but you're going to be okay. Thank you, Jesus. Number 66 in the nursery, please. All right. Intentional and efficiently. You know, when you're living like that and intentional, it doesn't matter what's going on, doesn't matter what turbulence or difficulty comes, you know that you're in the purpose of God. Because I discovered who I am, I discovered what I'm here for, and I'm living my life on purpose and intentionally. Number four, say number four. Say thank you, Pastor. Number four, you will find rest for your souls. I love that. Rest, deep rest. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. A genuine revelation of his goodness leads to deep peace. Deep peace. Unsettled peace. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is set on him. When your mind gets set on your circumstance and everything else, there goes your peace. It didn't go anywhere. You went somewhere. Your peace is still there. He gives you deep, settled peace. So a genuine revelation of his love and his grace leaves you a deep, settled peace. Now, the rapture, I'm not sure. I don't actually believe the rapture, at least in the way a lot of it is said. Don't mean to offend anybody about that, because if you want to have a rapture, that's okay. But when I was a kid, we believed in the rapture, got taught about the rapture. And I can remember one time I got dropped off from a baseball game by my coach, and my parents weren't home, and my brothers weren't home. When I saw their, I know my brothers had a game, but I knew their game was over, and they still weren't home. Nobody got home yet. And this went on, it was probably a good 3 hours. We didn't have cell phones and stuff like that back then. If you wanted to call home, my dad would have to stop at a payphone, and you know, not going to do that, right? So the little guy's at home. He doesn't know where these folks are. But sure enough, because I really didn't believe God liked me. I didn't. I lived in my head, and I knew that I cussed a couple times, did some bad stuff, and hated my teacher. But so when you got some of that stuff going on in your life, a little guy, and you're hearing all the stuff in Sunday school about how awesome God is, and you're not, and it's kind of like, wow, so I, in my own little brain, came to the conclusion that the rapture took place and I wasn't good enough and I got left behind. So now they're going to come and they're going to put the number of the beast on my forehead And I don't want to do that because I still want to have a second chance if there is one. But I'm probably going to have to eat my leg or my arm or something because I can't buy any food because I don't have the number. And this is not good. So all the pictures got a little bit scary. And there's me hurricanes and earthquakes, and this is not good. I can't believe I'm here. Oh my, I went on like a 5-alarm panic attack, just full on. There was no rest. And whatever they'd been teaching me in Sunday school, when it came right down to it, my deepest fear jumped out of my belly. I didn't think God liked me. I was terrified. I had no peace. All those years I spent in church, got a flat head from sleeping on pews. Cut my teeth on a hymnal. And when it came right down to it, I wasn't even sure that God even liked me. And we want you to follow Jesus because he's nuts about you. He's done everything. You've never lived an unloved moment your whole life. Even when you were unlovely, he still loved you. He's absolutely committed to you in every single way. And you know, when you start following him, and I love what Joey said, because Joey didn't say, I love you. He said, I love you too. And when he said that, it's just, oh, it's so good. I was like, say it again. Because I heard him say, I heard that he loves me. And I said, I love you too. So good. But you see, when you discover who he is, you discover where you're from, and you discover who you are, then you come to a place where you have deep, deep rest and peace, no matter what the storm. And here at Impact, these are values we have. That we don't want you to, you know, chase after him and try to do good for him. Just follow him. And you know what? The outworking of following him really is. You know, what does grace teach you to do? It teaches you to live righteous, upright, godly lives. What teaches you? Grace. Unmerited favor teaches you. And it's the relationship with him that unpacks the nonsense in your life. If you're trying to unpack the nonsense yourself and say, you know what? You take a rest, Jesus. I'm going to sanctify myself. He's going to say, yeah, it doesn't work that way. But a lot of people think it does. And it doesn't. It's not biblical. It's a theological nightmare. But when you follow him, what happens when you follow him is in him, you discover who you are. And in him, you discover where you're from. And in him, you start to discover the wonderful gifts and callings and purposes that God's put in your life. Give me another slide. When you know who you are and where you come from, you are here, and what you are, you can intentionally and freely live. You live intentionally and freely. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the varied grace of God. So everyone, each of you are here. Is everyone here? You're all here? Oh, fantastic. I thought I saw a vision. All right. Each one has received a gift. Each one has been graced. Each and every one of you, none of you are here by accident. You're all here on purpose. You're all here with a significant purpose and a destiny. And you know, my job is not to do ministry. My job is to equip you to do ministry. So my job is to hook you up to Jesus and then help you in that process discover the gifts and callings in your life. That's why we did that whole Yes series and talked about your heart and your hand. How do you connect those things? How do you do that? But we do that intentionally. How many people have we mentored here so far? It's well over 100, though, isn't it? Like 120, 130 people that we've mentored. How many have gone through the intensive mentoring class with Pastor Cheryl or Pastor Carl? Put up your hand really high so we can see it. That's good. All right, that's good. You know, we've probably done about 120 people that we've intentionally mentored and helped. And you're going to actually hear great testimony next week about discovery, so you got to come. But we want to help you unpack that beautiful gift that you are and be everything God called you to be. And so that's one of the values we have as a church, that we don't want you to just follow Jesus. We want you to discover everything about yourself in him. And we want you to unpack that and display that and minister that. Give you another verse. One more. You ready? Psalm 62, 5 and 6, it says, God, the one and only, I'll wait as long as he says. Everything I hope for comes from him. So why not? He's solid. He's a solid rock under my feet, breathing room for my soul. Breathing room for my soul. We started the whole thing out talking about the margins, talking about time, talking about there's no balance in people's lives anymore. And folks, if you don't have room for the body of Christ and serving Jesus and doing that, you're really, there's some emphasis and things in your life that are gone astray and messed up, you know? Because we want to equip you to be all you be. And we're not saying, hey, you got to spend more time in church, okay? we want you to realize that there's a whole lot of one another's in the Bible, and you can't do those without being in relationship. So get in relationship. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Talking. Point them right in their face. Go, you. Well, I got other stuff to do. Well, that's probably why you're living, and you're probably going to file for karoshi. That's death by work. Anyways, just in case you forgot. Breathing. I love this. Breathing room for my soul. An impregnable castle. I'm set for life. Amen. Amen. One more slide because I think I'm done. Boom. Come on, stand up with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just bow your heads, close your eyes, and just pray, all right? Just everybody pray. Let's all pray. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, bless right now. Lord, there's people right now living outside of the margins. There's people living. There's no balance in their lives. And Lord, I pray today that you would just help them right now to cast their cares on you. Cast it all on you because you care. And to really trust you. And to really get aligned with you because your yoke is easy, your burden is light. To come and really learn rest, to really learn life, to unpack all the difficulty and just start to walk in the strength and power that you've given us. So thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Now just heads bowed, eyes closed, listen. Maybe you're here and you wandered in and you've never really done the follow Jesus thing. I don't know if I'm even following Jesus. And you want to know. You want to know. You want to know, I want to know that I'm a child of God. I want to accept that he accepts me. If that's you, I'm going to just count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. Just so you know to put your hand up. And I want you to put your hand up really high because I just want to pray with you and everybody. All right, when I count to three, if you don't know, if you've accepted him, you're not even sure, but you want to be sure, I want you to put your hand up. I'm going to pray with you. You ready? One, two, three. Just put your hand up really high right now so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just put your hand. You still do it now. You still do it right now. Anyone else? Okay, you can put your hands down. That's great. Thank you. We're all going to pray together. So you're going to pray. Your neighbor's going to pray. We're all going to pray. So you just pray out loud. You ready? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for accepting me. Thank you for forgiving me every sin and disappointment. Thank you for restoring me in a relationship with my Heavenly Father. I receive you now as my Lord and as my Savior. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Testify now with my spirit that I am a child of God. Thank you. I'm forgiven. I'm healed. And I'm free in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, somebody might tap you on the shoulder and just talk to you because we would like you to really unpackage, you know, what you did and what that prayer is all about. You didn't join the church. They're not going to ask you for anything. They just want to, you know, get a little information and help you process this whole thing because it's a good thing. We got all kinds of stuff. I gave you these impact tracks things, and we do have impact tracks. So there's all the verbs, and maybe you don't know where you are on that track. Maybe you've only done the follow thing, and you'd like to discover. You'd like to connect. You'd like to get involved, invite, give, serve. Those are our values there, and we put that there for you. So take that home, put it on your fridge, and memorize it for next week. All right? Just kidding. Real easy. Follow, discover, connect, invite, serve, and give. Amen. Father, I just thank you right now. Could the folks that are ministering at the altar come now, or elders and those who are appointed in prayer ministry today? Can you guys come up right now? Just get ready to pray. If you need prayer for anything today, you need healing, you need any type of a breakthrough, please, please come. We want to minister to you, and we just want to touch you and let you experience God's goodness and his grace in your life, all right? So, Father, I just thank you for your goodness, your grace. I just thank you that you're a wonderful and a very, very good God. It's an honor and a privilege just to serve these folks and pastor this church. I love them deeply. And I pray, Lord, every one of them experience the fullness of your grace, the unforced rhythms of your grace. So, Father, your great love, let it abound on everyone. Let your grace wrap each and every one. And, Father, now in the partnership and the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost, I loose each and every one to go. Minister your kingdom everywhere they go for your honor, for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.